we'll go ahead and continue with Stanford coach David Shaw. The Cardinals are home opening conference play with USC on Saturday. We'll go ahead and take questions for Coach.
To ask Coach a question, please press star one. And your first question comes from the line of David Eubin, Sports on Earth.
David, the NCAA rule book is pretty clear that once a game goes final, the result can't be overturned. But in special cases, where maybe there's a mistake made, whether it's officiating or whatnot, do you think there should be some avenue for coaches to at least explore that and enter in the possibility of changing a game if the result was incorrect?
I think we're talking about Pandora's box. You know, once you start saying, okay, the game is over, and now, you know, outside of playing an ineligible player or one of those things, you go back and say, okay, you forfeit the game. I don't think you can go back and change the outcome of a game once it's been decided, regardless of an officiating error. There are different ways you can protest, and there are and should be ways to punitively handle officials that make those mistakes. But mistakes happen throughout the course of the entire game. You know, officials, coaches, players. The bottom line is, you know, once the game is over, it's over.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Sure.
And your next question comes from the line of Steve Mims, the Register Guard.
Hey, David. Kind of an unusual situation with just one non-conference game before going into Pac-12 play. Has that changed any kind of practice or preparation either this week?
Still there?
Yeah, David?
Yes, gotcha.
I'm sorry. Did you hear that?
Yeah, it didn't necessarily change our preparation. We just knew that we didn't have to start on USC too early. Because we're going to have 2 weeks to prepare. So we focused on Kansas State, and then we got a little bit of a preview during our bye week, early in the week against USC. It worked pretty hard and then gave the guys some days off. It was just we go back and forth between not losing the rhythm of playing a football game, but then also not wearing our guys out, knowing that we don't have another bye the rest of the year. So we tried to have a balance between working hard and then giving some time off. To get ready to get back in the swing of things this week.
And your next question comes from the line of Joey Kaufman, Orange County Register.
David, one of the things that Clay Elton mentioned this week was that Stanford is kind of the team that USC wants to be and tries to be. With the more success you've had over the years, have you guys noticed more teams wanting to emulate your style of play or an interest and go in the direction you guys have gone?
Not necessarily. I take it as a sign of respect that people know that. I mean, playing against us is going to be a physical football game. We try to make it so, and I think that's good recognition. I do think that every team, USC included, has their own style, has their own things that they want to do, and not that they're going to mimic us at all. They've got really good coaches, and they've recruited well. So I know they're going to have their way of doing things. And once again, I think this Stanford-USC game is going to be as exciting as the last five or six that we've had of these.
But a wave of coaches hasn't, like, come in the summer trying to learn things or anything like that?
No. I think they're – we're still in an era right now where the spread world and the no-huddle offenses and the up-tempo offenses are still prevailing, more so than our style. I haven't seen very many people completely change their offenses to be like ours. You turn on the TV sometimes and you see snippets of, hey, you know, that looks like something that we would do. But it's the same thing that we do. I mean, we look at NFL and college offenses also, even spread offenses, up-tempo offenses, and adopt. That's a nice way of saying it, adopt some things that other people do. But I think that's just what smart football coaches do. But at the same time, I think you have your own things that you believe in, and I know that Clay does as well, and that they're going to try to perfect their own way of running their offense.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And your next question comes from the line of Kyle Zanagara, ESPN.com.
Hey, David. When the conference expanded to 12 teams, one of the rules was that you guys would, you know, always play SC and UCLA every year. Do you like how that is set up, or do you have any kind of general thoughts on why that's the case?
For me, being a Stanford alum, I love it. You know, and there are a lot of people that go back and forth. Well, you know, it just makes it harder on all of us, you know, as other conferences don't do that. They cycle each other out. But for me, I mean, I love the fact that the California schools are going to play against each other every year. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine that we wouldn't play SC and UCLA every single year. That's a strange concept for me, growing up knowing that those are things that you can count on. I think our alumni count on those. I think our fan bases count on those. I think we've got natural built-in rivalries that I would hate to take a two-year hiatus from. Once again, for me personally, even though it does make our schedule relatively difficult, as an alum, I love the fact that the California schools play each other.
Do you think that there's a chance that they would ever be revisited, or is it kind of just going to be like this into the future with, you know, opportunity for change?
I think over the next few years, who knows what's going to be revisited, right? Yeah, the conference realignment, which we thought was done, it seems like it's never going to be done. I think, you know, playing 9 conference opponents or 10 conference opponents or 8 conference opponents is going to continue to be talked about. So that's one of those things that I think is going to continually be revisited until at some point down in the future, hopefully, we have some uniformity across all conferences as far as scheduling conference, out-of-conference games.
Great, thanks.
Sure.
And your next question comes from the line of Kevin Gimble, ESPN.com.
Hey, Coach, I know over the last few years, especially early in the season, you talk about establishing that Stanford identity. With so many moving pieces and new pieces on both sides of the ball, do you feel like you were able to do that with just one game?
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
I think we started down the path. I think we have an idea of what we're capable of and whether or not we can do it at a high level for long periods of time. We'll see. Once again, I think we took a couple steps down that path, but I think there's a lot of improvement that we need to make from game one to game two, and that the bye week has come at an inopportune time to try to really build off of that first win. So in some respects, this almost feels like game one again. But at the same time, there are things that we hopefully learned from the first game that we can apply to game number two.
And then in terms of priorities, obviously you want to run the football, you want to stop the run, create turnovers. Is there one thing you're prioritizing more over any that you need to do to beat USA?
Gosh, you kind of hit those things right on the head. And the two things I would add to those, which are, you have to create explosive plays. You have to change field position, whether it's through the kicking game or through the offense. And then defensively, especially playing against USC, you've got to limit those big plays. You know, you've got to try to contain Juju, you know, because you know, they could be backed up, and after one play, they could be in your red zone. And that's what you always have to guard against, playing against a very explosive, talented football team.
Great. Thank you.
Sure.
I will take one more question.
And your next question comes from the line of Andy Farrello, Sacramento Bee.
Hi, Coach. Hey, to follow up a little bit on the last question there, looking at your offensive line, you guys have always had your dominated line. Do you see this one as being able to dominate? And could you give us an assessment maybe of how Casey Tucker is looking out over there at left tackle? Thank you.
Sure. We got off to a solid start, and I think the first half was better than the second half up front. I think we've got some guys that are just establishing themselves as potentially very good college football players. So I think there's some room to grow. I think our tackles, Casey Tucker and A.T. Hall, I think played well. I think they're both capable of playing so much better. internally. I thought in the running game in the first half that we played outstanding. The second half probably not as well. I think we can all get better as pass protectors. But also at some point, you know, I don't think it ever happens week one or week two. You know, you get to week three, week four, game three, game four. Now you see these guys start to gel and their communication becomes quicker, and some of it's even nonverbal, and they know each other so well after being in so many different tough physical environments that, going again, they start to really, really gel together as one unit. And I think we're on the path of that. I don't think we're quite there yet.
Great. Thank you so much, Coach.
Thank you.
All right, David, that'll do it for you today. Appreciate your time. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
All right.